May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the city to Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, or rags, basically, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel and multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're kind of doing some Advent stuff during Advent and then Christmas during the 12 days of Christmas. And yesterday I started talking about a devotion which is part of my devotional life, which is the seven joys and seven sorrows of Joseph. And often not much is talked about with Joseph, but Joseph is certainly an important person chosen of God to participate in his purposes at a high level. And so yesterday we looked at the first joy or sorrow of Joseph, and that's the announcement of Mary being pregnant, him being confused, the sorrow of thinking that she had betrayed his trust, and then the joy of discovering that it was by the Holy Spirit. And even though the story, there's nothing mentioned about Joseph here in terms of the angel coming to him. Obviously, it talks about Joseph and Mary being there and how Joseph registered Mary. She was with child and the birth, a child being born. So there are several scenes that we know that Joseph was at, and this would be the second sorrow and joy of Joseph. We'll look back at the scripture again probably during the Christmas season or before Christmas, but there's some significant things here about the sorrow and the joy of Joseph and the things I pray for in my own personal life. And that is this, that historically the idea would be that here's Joseph who's with Mary and there's not a place for them to stay in the inn. And now that's not a surprise because people were flooding into different areas to register because of the census. And I know that the innkeeper has been painted as this terrible person throughout church history, but it doesn't say anything about him being a bad guy. There was just no room in the inn. And it wasn't like they were wearing a sign saying, "We're giving birth to the Messiah, so she would have a room for us." They were just poor young couple from up north. And the sorrow would be that as a father, maybe it would have been natural for Joseph for this child that he was the foster father of, this child that he knew was the result of the activity of the Holy Spirit, that for Joseph to have felt bad about the fact that this child was born in a manger and born wrapped in rags. Those rags were rags that were used to clean up the stall. This is basically a barn, a lean-to that was dug into the side of a mountain. It's just a cave, sort of lean-to cave. And so these rags were not very clean rags. They didn't come out of the sterile environment of a hospital birthing room. They were clean. They would clean things around the stable. And the manger, of course, was just a place where food, where straw and other things were kept for the animals to eat out of. So it was a very unclean environment. And rags were helped use to clean all that. And so Jesus is wrapped in these rags so he could be warm, and he was the swaddling of the rags. And this whole environment was one of pretty abject poverty and one of incredible simplicity. And as a father, the idea being is that Joseph could have, as a normal person, felt really bad that this child that he was given responsibility to steward was born in an environment full of such weakness and such poverty and such uncleanness. But here's the joyful side of it. This is the thing that I pray. Because sometimes, too, I see this among Christians. If they feel like God's not using them as much as he's using other people, though they're walking in as much faith as they know how to walk in, they've surrendered everything that they're called to surrender to the Lord, and yet their ministry or their anointing doesn't seem to be as influential or as big. This is not just true for ministers or worship leaders, but just believers in general. That their impact seems to be smaller. You know, one of the terms that's used a lot in the body of Christ among charismatics is that God's called you to be a world changer. But one of the things that's not sort of spoken of that, but maybe the world that God's called you to change is a small one. You know, maybe it's not going to be one of great scope and where you're going to be really well known and you're going to be ministering to hundreds or thousands of people. Maybe it's something simple and small. And one of the things that I pray for, God, never let me despise small things. Don't let me be impressed with big things and find myself comparing myself to other people's ministry or other people's anointing. You know, if I don't get as much praise as somebody else may get, or again, if this church isn't as big or my influence isn't as great, then don't let me get hung up by envying and being jealous of what other people are stewarding. Because nothing was happening on the earth, and nothing had ever happened on the earth that had more significance and more redemptive power than what was happening in this little stable with this little child wrapped in swaddling clothes. And God chose this on purpose. Here's the King of Kings. Yet look at the environment that God chose him to be birthed into. As a matter of fact, the angels said to Joseph and Mary, that, or to the shepherds, that this will be a sign to you, that there'll be a child lying in a manger wrapped in rags. What's the sign? That God can use weak things to manifest his purpose and his glory. God can use small things. God can use places of brokenness. The other thing that I pray for is, Lord, sometimes the enemy will tell us that God can't use us at all because our life has been like dirty rags. We've really messed it up and not gotten it right. And part of the sign is that he didn't choose to be born in some golden crib, that God will wrap himself in the rags of our humanity, and that we can just believe that we can be used by God and we can participate in his purposes, that God can manifest his glory even though all we have to offer him is the rags of our fallen and weak and impoverished humanity. Maybe you have a really bad track record. You just don't feel like you have much to offer. If you'll let him wrap himself up in who you are, then that's all that he needs and that's all that he's looking for. And I can assure you that when the shepherds came to the stable, they didn't see rags. They didn't see a manger, a feeding trough. They didn't see a stable, a barn. What they saw was the glory of God. And they saw the purposes of God being manifested in this situation. I think this is the great joy of Joseph. That even though there may have been the temptation to feel sorrow that there, he had nothing more to offer Jesus than just this abject, poor, weak environment. But that he was able to see beyond all that and to see that God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. And that he'll clothe himself in the dirty and in the broken and in the weak and the inadequate for his purposes and his glory to be manifested. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.